Welcome to episode 157 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. As many of you know by now, if you've followed my antics for long enough, the world of professional photography is not all glamour. Don't get me wrong, it's a great profession, a lot of fun, and I love it, but it does come with its own unique set of demands. In this week's show, I'm sharing some audio I recently recorded at a very unsociable time of day when I was having to put in some extra hours in order to keep on top of my workload. So let's crack on. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 157. It's just about 4:30 in the morning, and you'll have to forgive me if I do yawn a couple of times along the way. As you might imagine, I'm quite tired. You can probably tell from my voice. But the reason I'm up this late is I'm in my office, and I am having to put in some extra hours following a shoot that I did yesterday afternoon, however you look at it, for one of my long-standing corporate clients in London. Now, the reason, and I'll come to the specifics of the shoot in a minute, but the reason I'm having to put in the hours is just quite simply because of my my diary, my schedule over the next few days and over the next week. It's just so busy that if I don't do this I won't have the time to prepare the images. Now, as I have mentioned previously, I always like to turn around my pictures within 24-48 hours. If I didn't do what I'm doing tonight, it would probably be realistically about 4 days, and that's if I'm lucky, because there's so much going on that actually I'm barely in the office. So you know, sometimes you just have to put in the hours. So as I sit here in front of me, I've got my computer. I've just finished doing the editing of the images, and these were shots taken in a meeting. In a previous episode, I spoke about how I went and did pictures for this client, and we had some studio-based portraits against a backdrop, and also a few shots in a meeting room as a meeting was being conducted. Those were all unposed. Well, this latest set is essentially the same thing, except for I didn't do the posed pictures. It was all just shots in the meeting room. So what I'm doing at the moment, as I look at the screen, I have an FTP panel up, and the images are being transferred through to a folder which is accessible through the back end of my website, so that the client can go in there and download the pictures straight away. They've been reduced in their physical size. They're still full resolution, but they've been reduced so that the client can be getting on with using them, dropping them into presentations and marketing material, what have you. And then the disc with all the images in their full size and full resolution will be sent out tomorrow or today, however you view it. So as I look at it here, it's just under 20 minutes that it's going to take to finish completing the upload. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the shots and how I went about it. So, as I said in a previous recording, in fact, let me tell you which episode that was. That was episode number, here we go, episode 154 was when I spoke about this particular previous shoot. So, as I said in that episode, the setup was essentially the same again. However, the situation was bound to change because of the fact that it was a different day. Some of the same people, some new people, so there are a few considerations there. But the shoot itself was, rather than being in the middle of the afternoon, it was actually at between 6 and 7.30 in the evening. Now, thankfully, where I was, the office was not exactly bathed in light, but it had very big, sort of, you know, the windows were really big, stretching the whole length of this meeting room, and also around 90 degrees for the sort of the end of one end of the room as well. Unfortunately, because there was a presentation being sort of delivered, we had to pull down the blinds at that far end to reduce reflections on the screen where the presentation was being displayed, which is fair enough. As I said, though, I'm there to work around them, and so it actually didn't present too much of a problem in the end. So there was a little bit less light than I had potentially had at my disposal. I took some extra lighting with me as well, just in case, because I wasn't, even though I'd visited this building, this room before, sort of a number of days ago, I wasn't sure exactly how dark it was going to be at that time of day. Now, as it happens, that the sun was setting as a lovely, bright blue sky day anyway, but the sun was setting sort of behind some buildings round the corner, so it wasn't directly coming through the window, which in some ways is a good thing, because there would have been a lot of contrast, and without that being the case, all the pictures were nice and bright, but they didn't suffer from excessive contrast and shadows and highlights, which meant I didn't have to sort of adjust my exposures too much. I worked the exposure compensation, of course, as I always do, sort of up to, I think, about plus two stops on the exposure compensation. The average was around about 1.3, which is kind of typical. So the lighting that I took, just to let you know, were a couple of continuous light sources. They're each 1,000 watts, so they're very, very bright, but of course they do pump out a lot of heat, so that's another consideration. There's another reason why it was nice not to use them. So they stayed in my case, just in the corner of the room. My setup for the camera was a Nikon D3. It was set up at ISO 5000, and as I've said many times, the D3 is very good at handling high ISO to keep the noise, digital noise, down. So ISO 5000, shooting around about f4, f5.6, maybe around about f6.3 for shots where there were maybe sort of three or four people in a line or in a row, so that I kept the focus obviously on one person, but sort of there was more depth of field, therefore, so they were sharper. But that was it. It was a really simple setup. Existing light, obviously, there was light coming through the windows. There was also obviously the halogen lights in the ceiling, which were fairly bright, coming down. Oh, excuse me. Oh, dear. So there was that lighting, but with the D3, I had the 80-200 f2.8 lens attached. I didn't really go down to down to f2.8 as I typically would on this occasion, just because a bit of feedback from the last set of pictures. The client was very happy with them, but they asked me on this occasion to include more shots that showed more of the people sort of interacting within sort of twos and threes sat around the table. I also did shots like that last time, but the emphasis was more on sort of individuals on that particular occasion. So that so a reason why I kind of wasn't shooting sort of at 2.8, because I wanted to get more depth of field, as I've already said, to get more people in slightly more in focus and what have you. So that was basically it. The shots, and just, as well as the upload going off, I've also got Adobe Bridge open in front of me, and it's Bridge that I use to rename the files and sift through them and what have you. There was a previous episode that, if you want to know about my workflow, let me just get the page up here, because I can't remember the specific episode. Let's have a look. Because my workflow hasn't really changed for quite some time. If you go into the Active Photographer website, in the top right hand corner you'll see there's a search box. So I've just typed in workflow, one word, and it's come up with a number of articles and podcasts where I have that is a keyword. So there are a number of articles or podcasts that you could look at, but the one specifically I would direct you to is episode number 34. It's going back a few was it 2011, that was, so it's going back a while. But like I say, a lot nothing has really changed, apart from the fact I was using Adobe Photoshop CS4 back then. Still using Camera Raw as well and Bridge, but that'll give you an idea of if you're interested about my workflow. It really hasn't changed that much. So just going back to Bridge here, the 80-200 is a lovely lens because it allows you to really pull the focus in to get those headshots and middle distance shots, playing around with framing the subjects with their colleagues out of focus in the foreground, showing these bright windows behind them. One of the things that was different this time compared to last was that my client had put a pop-up banner in one corner of the room. So of course it had their branding on there, it had a slogan. So of course you always want to make sure wherever there's branding, you want to make sure that is featured in some of the pictures, because bear in mind, these pictures are designed to promote and publicise the brands, the organisation and what they do. So I'm just looking from the very start here. I'm supplying, on this occasion, I'm supplying 92 pictures. And so there's a nice range. Some of the shots are wider, some are closer. So I started off, and this is the edit, because obviously there's some being taken out. Started off with sort of just general sort of shot of one person being the focal point, but with three of her colleagues around. That's framed by a gentleman in the foreground, sort of with a document up in front of him. There was food and drink around the place as well, because of the time of day. So you've got a full glass of orange juice there, some sandwiches, what have you, which is fine, because, you know, this is very real. You know, this is how it happened. So, you know, there's some shots looking at sort of 45 degree angle to people, a bit more acute. There's a group of ladies there, three of them just interacting and what have you. One thing I will mention, and I alluded to this in that previous podcast where I spoke about this same client. When it comes to colour, of course, you want to make sure that your colours are accurate. And for that, I use the now, what is it, the is it Colour Checker Passport? I think that's, is it Colour Checker? Do you know, this is one of the things that you find at the end of the day, you have a bit of a brain freeze. Let me just have a look over here. I've actually got my camera case with me. Colour Checker Passport. It's a plastic kind of fold-out accessory here, and it allows you to pick the neutral point when you do your colour checking. You click on the computer, you can select like the mid-grey area in this. Basically, what I do with all these shoots, and as I did on this occasion, I just placed this up against a jug of water in the middle of the table, did a couple of test shots to give me an overall reference of the room. And so when I was editing through the pictures, I could select the colour dropper on the grey there, and it auto-corrected all the colours. So that was sort of the first thing. Of course, those pictures don't get supplied. They're merely for reference. So as I look here, I can see that people's skin colours. I can't remember exactly these people what their skin tones were like, but when I look at them, their shirts are white when they should be, and blacks are black, and everything looks nice. And the walls, I remember sort of the colours of the doors and what have you. So, you know, it saves a lot of time. One of the things that I actually did save time, I mean, here we are, you know, sort of in the middle of the night, but I was able to save time by taking my laptop with me. And what I did is, I was just about to head off, I actually had my laptop with a memory card reader, and I downloaded the pictures onto the laptop. And whilst I was on the train, and of course I always get the train into London, when I was on the train on my way back, I made a start on my editing. So my laptop isn't actually calibrated for colour and brightness. It's not far off, actually. But what I was able to do is to make my initial edits. I forget how many pictures I took in total, but I basically selected the ones that I wanted, did a rough edit in terms of their their overall levels and contrast. And then when I got back into the office this evening, last night, I just tweaked them a little bit more, making sure the sharpness was there and all the rest of it. I generally don't edit on my laptop. What I tend to do is that I have my laptop screen. I actually have an external monitor that I use for when I'm editing. But that sort of saved me a bit of time. But I'm just kind of looking through the shots here. It's interesting, you know. One of the things that I discovered after the last shoot was just how dirty the sensor on my D3 was. You should always keep your cameras nice and clean and make sure the sensors are clean, but it had just been a while since I had last got that taken care of. So typically what I find is that as you go through the aperture range and the apertures get smaller, so say F11, F16, 22, what have you, at those apertures you start to see dust marks on your images more clearly. Typically at F5.6, 4, 2.8, in my experience, you don't really see those, especially when you're shooting at on an 80 to 200 at the top end of that. But after the last set, images from the other day, I was finding that at F5.6, I was getting all these dust marks. And so one of the things I did before heading off to the shoot was actually to clean the sensor. Now, there are many ways that you can go about this. You can use swabs, you can use alcohol swabs, I believe they are, and what have you. I always get a little bit nervous doing that, and typically I would have my sensors cleaned professionally. There's a chap I know locally, although he's sort of semi-retired now, so it may be that I'd have to find another person or another way of doing it. But one thing I did do, given that it was on the day and I had no other option, I actually just plugged the D3 into the mains power cable, which is used for locking up the mirror so that you can get to the sensor. And what I did, I just had an air blower, not a brush, just like you often hear them referred to as rockets. It's basically just a big sort of, you just squeeze it and it blows air onto your lenses or onto your camera to clean them, what have you. So all I typically do with that, and I've used this technique quite a lot, is basically just hold the camera upside down so that the where the lens would be is facing directly down, and you just blow the air up into there so the dust will just fall directly out. And do you know what? I know that some people say you shouldn't do that and it's a bit risky and you know you have to be careful and what have you. But looking at all these pictures, I cannot find a single spot of dust on the images, which was really nice, because it just means that that's one less thing to do in the editing process. You know, it is such a pain to have to spot out all the pictures because it adds so much time to the process. So the people were pretty animated. Just looking at the last sort of few pictures here, laughing and sort of lots of gesticulation with their hands and what have you. People sort of deep in thought and smiling and all this sort of thing. So yeah, just a nice set of images. There are certain shots here where, you know, you've got those windows right behind people, and at the time that I shot, of course I always shoot in RAW because then you've got the most information to play with in the file. I was shooting whereby the windows were kind of mostly blowing out, so that when you look on the back of the camera, there really wasn't much information in those window areas. But because it's RAW file, you can bring back the highlights area. And doing that, there's details, albeit out of focus in varying degrees, of the buildings in the background that show that it's the city and that it's you know, in the office and sort of a high vantage point and what have you. So it's really good. So I played around with the angles, as I've alluded to already. Some of the shots here were almost below just below the table level, which is quite nice, because there's a couple of shots here where trying to get the branding in the background, you know, you don't show people's legs or anything like that, but you're just kind of looking, the eye level being sort of across the top of the table is actually sort of rather nice. That's kind of it. I'm just trying to think. There's nothing else really specific. I'm just going to have a look to see how we're doing on the upload. Where are we? There we go. So there are about 2 minutes remaining. That's good. I generally, just as a side note, I generally try not to put in too many of these super late nights. If I'm lucky, I'll probably get, where are you now? I'll probably get, oh, I don't know, maybe an hour's sleep tonight. you always want to try and make sure you can catch up. Now, I don't have the luxury, as I record this, it is a, where are we now? Well, it's actually the early hours of Thursday morning. But I don't have the luxury of just sitting back and taking it easy and sleeping today as it is. Friday I've got to crack on with things because I've got a very busy week next week as I record this, and so I've got so much preparation to do. Even at the weekend, I don't have the Saturday in the office. Sunday's a family day, so that's not an option. So I'm really basically running out of time this week. So that's why I'm just putting in these hours. Would I recommend doing it? Yes, absolutely. If you've got to keep the client happy, you do everything in your powers to do that. It looks good, it keeps the client happy, which ultimately means that they're more likely to commission you again. I've worked with this particular organization for over 10 years. And, they keep using me because I make the effort, and obviously they like the quality of the pictures. Just speaking about the quality of the pictures, one other point on that. I'll just click done on there. 92 files. So as I said, I was shooting at ISO 5000, which is okay. There was a bit more graininess in the picture on occasions in some of the shots, which is understandable because of just the subject on those particular shots. Of course, if you underexpose a little bit and you try to brighten the pictures up, it's going to show up the noise more. But on a number of the pictures, not many actually. Just on a few of them, I actually did a little bit of noise reduction just to help it out. And what I tend to do is you do noise reduction, then put a bit more sharpness back in, and it works very well. So that's kind of it, really. The other thing I've got to do, click a button here just to give me a reference to how the clients will see the pictures. That's all looking good. So I'm going to copy that link, and I've already prepared an email for my client, and it says that I've uploaded the pictures, da da da, you can access them, and it says simply click here. So I'm going to highlight that and drop in the link. There we go. That is good to go. So, I have a cup of tea with me, of course. I'm going to finish that off and then think about trying to get a little bit of sleep. Now, the quandary always is when it gets to this point in the night, do you just stay up, carry on working? Because, it's only an hour or so, or a couple of hours, or whatever it might be, or do you pack up and head off and go and get some sleep? On this occasion, I have to say I am actually quite glad to get some sleep of any description, just because it's such a busy time at the moment with things. So I'm going to finish off my tea, I'm going to pack up and call it a night. So there we go. Thank you for bearing with me. I appreciate that it's a little bit sort of slower pace, and I probably I don't know. Do I sound a little less coherent at this hour? I'm not sure. I think actually, I don't. I think this is the latest I've ever done a recording for you guys. I think I've probably done one at maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, something like that. Probably when I was doing the same thing. I know I've obviously done recordings where it might be sort of around midnight or something when I'm doing some night images. But yeah, so thanks for bearing with me. I hope this has been of interest. I'm sure there's bound to be something that I've forgotten to tell you or something that I've missed. But as ever, if you do have any questions, you know how to get in touch. Just let me know, and all the ways to get in touch are coming up shortly. So, from a very weary photographer, again, thanks for listening, and I will leave it there. Truth be told. told, I actually quite like working late, but as I've often said, that's absolutely fine, just so long as I can strike a happy balance throughout the week. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast. CurrentPhotographer.com.